God is already doing a work. Always. We opened up with the Waymaker song. Always. He's always working, even when we can't see it. He's working in you and me. He's working in this church, and he's working in the world. Philippians 1 verse 6. For I'm confident, I am certain, Paul is writing to a church. Now, often we take these verses to mean me, and I have for many years, but it's more than that. He's working in us. For I'm confident that God, who began a good work, he began a good work in this church many years ago, began a good work in you, is always working in you and me from the moment of conception. He's working in us. We'll bring it. He'll bring it to completion. He'll complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. When he comes back or we go to heaven before that, he will keep working. He's never gonna stop working. Do you believe that, church? A couple of you do. Good. He's not gonna stop. Even when we doubt it, he's not going to start working. But there is an enemy against all that God is doing in this world and in this church and in you. There is an enemy that absolutely hates everything that God's trying to do. He hates it. And he's against us. He's against you. He's against this church. He's against what's going on in this world. He's against all that God is doing in the world. There's always a pushback, huge pushback. Now, don't feel bad if this doesn't always come to mind, because we don't always want to think of the devil all the time, and I get that. It isn't a major theological point, but it's important. And there is, and I'm going to come to this, there is a level of protection for us. Being in a church, being in the scriptures, and having people pray for us. But knowing there is a devil that is active against us is important to know. There is a real devil and actually is active against God and the saints. That is a story for us in the book of Revelation. Now, I want us to understand something. I've talked about this a little bit. When we look at the book of Revelation, we get all, many of us, get all enamored about the end times. That's what it's all about. It's end times, end times. It's not so much about the end times. I think that's actually minor compared to what the book of Revelation is talking about. And this isn't a message on the book of Revelation, but I want us to picture this. When you go to chapter 1, Jesus is showing the church, showing John, who he is. He's crazy, huge, and awesome, and all the picture that you may remember, he is huge and powerful. That's the first thing we have to realize. And then for the next two chapters, he's talking to the church about what they're doing, seven churches. And he's talking about the lampstand. He's talking about his angels that are working in the church. And he's talking about his Holy Spirit working in the church. And then from chapters 4 all the way to 21, 22, it's all about the war that's going on. So again, don't make end times your chief thing when you look at Revelation. He's talking about a war that's going on in the heavenlies. Yes, that happens on earth. And what we see around the world is a human war, but I just have to see it that the devil is behind a lot of what's going on in this world too. And so what we're seeing is the picture of a heavenly war of what's going on between God and the devil, and it plays out on earth. But there's a big, that's why John's writing this book. He's trying to give the church hope. And what's the hope in all this? That God is working. What is one of the main themes in Revelation? It starts with W. It's not war. Worship. Look what's all happening in the book of Revelation. Just that worship of God. Like, he is supreme. He's around the throne. And we see that a couple of times. He's around the throne and everybody's around him and worshiping. God is in charge. He's got this. Even when we can't see him working, even when it looks so overwhelming. And I was thinking about this morning. I'm going, look at all this going on in this world. Where is God? He's working. I was just reading this last week about in China, how a large church, the Chinese government set up fences around this church. And then a couple of days later, they came in and reduced that whole church to rubble. It was a large church, just reduced it to rubble. Now what happens? Where's God in all this? And I prayed for that church, God, that they would still be able to meet, that they'd still be able to... God's still working in the hearts and lives of people. And we look at what's going on, and the other side of it is, and Nick talked about this last week in Daniel 7:25, where the devil's trying to wear out the saints. And we see that in the book of Revelation. We'll see those that are martyred. There's all kinds of Christians around the world that are dying for their faith. There's a witness there. So you see that in the book of Revelation. You'll see he's talked about the devil being the accuser of the brethren. And you've heard me say this before. All of a sudden you have a thought, oh, I'm such an idiot. Have you ever said that? Of course not. Oh, I'm so stupid, or I'm so bad, or all these, you know what that is? I'll get to that. I'm rushing ahead here. That's a dart. The devil throws something at you and we turn it internal. Instead of the devil and he's saying, you're an idiot, we turn it inside and go, I'm an idiot. We can't do that. That's a dart. That's a lie. You are not an idiot. Say, I am not an idiot. Right? We're not. We're not. So, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, I am working through that. It says, he has given us everything we need for life and godliness. We've received all this by coming to him. We get to know God. We have that relationship with Jesus. And he's given us everything that we need to live victoriously. On the winning side, even in the midst of a church being destroyed in China, even in the midst of war, even in the midst of crime, even in the midst of anything that may be going on in the world, he's given us everything. God has given so much to help us stand in faith. And I want to share with you this morning just one thing, one tool, one weapon that he's given us to withstand the devil. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16. Just the one verse. It's a great verse. The Apostle Paul is talking about the whole armor of God. But I'm going to pick on this one verse that says, Ephesians 6, 16. In addition to all these... No, he's just not listing it. He's saying, in addition to all these. So he talked about these other parts of the armor. And then he says, in addition to all these. And I'm wondering if the reason he's saying is that the shield of faith, he says, in addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith. I wonder if that may be one of the most important part of the armor. That shield of faith. Not a little shield. Many of the warriors, and the Apostle Paul is talking about that, many of the warriors and the Roman warriors and all that would have had huge shields. And shields are used not only to fight, they can, depending how strong they are, they can wield the shield and fight off. But a shield is actually protection from the darts and from stones and from anything that the enemy want to throw at them. They can withstand. It holds it. Now, there's given the sword, and that's used for attacking. But in this particular verse, he's talking about holding up the shield of faith. The shield of faith. Now, I know there's all kinds of people that talk about Ephesians 6 and talk about a literal armor of God. And maybe you want to get into that. But I really believe that this is a picture, not even metaphorically, it's just saying a shield, faith is like a shield. You need that protection because of, there we go, because of the fiery arrows that come. Above all, in all circumstances, in addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith, which will extinguish, which will stop the fiery arrows of the devil. It's more for defense than offense. It's not like a sword. So what are those arrows? What are those fiery darts? I already hinted to one of them. It's the accusation. You're such an idiot. You're such a liar. Or whatever your past may have been, it comes back to haunt you. He throws it at you. See, remember. And I remember some things from my past, and I have to just go to and say, no, Jesus forgave me for that. I don't have to worry about it. But he keeps throwing it back. What's going on here? Distractions. He throws us off when we're trying to pray. How many times? When we're trying to pray, trying to have a good devotional time, prayer time, and all of a sudden, boom, boom, our mind's going all over. That's why when you're trying to have a prayer time, have a piece of paper beside you, and all of a sudden you'll realize, oh, I've got to shop these groceries. Does that happen? I've got to do this today. Just take a piece of paper, write it down, because your mind's trying to make you remember that, which is fair, but the devil's using it. Just write it down, and then you'll forget about it and carry on with prayer. Because sometimes, this isn't in the notes, sometimes what happens when we're praying, our mind's actually quiet enough to remember things, and so you just write it down. Don't have to worry about it, and then carry on praying. Distractions, annoyances, sometimes there's outright attacks. Sometimes the devil just outrightly attacks you or pressures you or gives you all kinds of evil thoughts or evil intentions, and your mind goes, and that's where you have to pull up that shield of faith and go, in the name of Jesus, I trust you, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I hold up the shield of faith. In the name of Jesus, I take that fiery dart, you've put it out, I throw it away. I throw it to the feet of Jesus. And I trust you, Jesus. That's what he's doing. So now you can imagine it, that you take that shield of faith and you're sitting in your favorite chair or sitting at your desk and you're having quiet time, and you're imagining you're holding up the shield of faith. That's what he's talking about. I believe in Jesus. And we sung these songs that talks about believing in Jesus. The other thing, I was picturing this, I'm going, oh, that's what a church is. Can you imagine, how many are here this morning? 73 of us, okay? 73. Can you imagine 73 of us holding up our shield of faith? Can you imagine around each table, every one of us holding up a shield of faith? Protecting each other? Can you imagine if we got into a big circle and we all held up our shield of faith, turned our back towards the center, because I got your back, you got my back, and we've got the shield of faith that's around us, and believing God, trusting him. We know enough about God. We know lots about God. And we hold up that shield of faith for each other. For each other, we lift up that faith. We have to be ready for the attacks of the evil one. They will come. Anticipate it. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. The Apostle Peter. Do you remember when he told Jesus, when Jesus said, I'm going to die, I'm going to go to the cross, and Jesus said, don't do that. You shouldn't be doing this. No, you're going to live forever. What did Jesus say to Peter? Get behind me, Satan. get behind me, Satan. Watch, going. So as Peter is remembering this, he writes this. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Stay alert! Exclamation point. Watch out for your great enemy, not a good enemy, a great, powerful enemy, the devil. Watch out. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Have you watched the nature shows where they have the pride of lions and they're going around and they're walking? They don't just attack anonymously. They don't just attack anybody. They're prowling. They do more prowling than they do attacking. Looking around for the weak one, looking around for the struggling one, looking around for the one that they could easily get. They never go for the strong, well, they do, but most of the time it's for the weak one. Look, he says, he prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Stand firm. Stand. You don't have to fight against the devil. Stand firm and be strong in your faith. What's the other strong? Yeah, strong in your faith. Be strong in your faith. Hold up that shield of faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world are going through the same kind of suffering as you are. Churches around the world, that's why I pray often for the persecuted church. They're going through much more than we are, and we need to uphold our brothers and sisters. Now I want you to go to James chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Verse 7 and 8, how do we hold up that shield of faith? So humble yourselves before God, resist the devil, and he will flee. That's the simple thing, resist. We don't fight against the devil necessarily. Most of us don't. Most of us shouldn't. But we resist. We stand firm. We hold up the shield of faith, and we say in the name of Jesus, no. And then we humble ourselves before God. We sit with Jesus, we sit with God, and as we resist the devil, he will flee. He has to flee because of our shield of faith and our trust in Jesus. And then it says, beginning of verse 8, come close to God and he will come close to you. Come close to God and he will come close to you. That's an automatic. Resist, then humble yourself before God and ask God to come close, and he will come close to you. He will be right there. We don't need to get dramatic. We just need to draw near Jesus. Our relationship with Jesus is our faith. Our worship is our faith. God is doing a great work in this world. He is. He's doing a great work in you and me. He's doing a great work in this church. And we all need to hold up our shields of faith. And even if it's all we can do to just say, Jesus, I believe, in the midst of an intense battle that maybe you go through, Jesus, I'm going to focus on you. I'm going to believe in you. Holding up our shield of faith. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. He has given us everything. Everything we need for life and godliness. He has given us the armor of God, but he has given us the shield of faith that we can resist the devil and we can draw near to God. So, application. Be diligent in your own quiet times with God. See, if we're not spending time with God, and again, this is not a guilt thing. I'm not trying to guilt you. I'm just saying the way it is. If we're not with God during the week, then we end up wandering, and then we're so-called easy pickings for a prowling lion. We need to draw near to God, and that's in our quiet times. That's that you take your Abide journal and you go through some of the notes that you took this morning and you work through it during the week, or maybe you have other devotional guides, and even just to sit with your phone and just say, for 10 minutes, I'm going to just sit here and I'm going to draw near to God. Number two, be in a small group of people for help and camaraderie. I'm looking at this, I'm going, wow, that's what a small group is. To stand together with our shield of faith as we pray for each other, as we battle with each other. As we think about our Kids Connect, as we think about our youth ministry of getting together, as we think about leadership team, we're praying, trying to figure out what to do with a young adults group. We're looking ahead to that. As we think about our small groups starting in fall, and maybe I'm dreaming about some house churches that might meet during the week, not on Sunday. Wow, man, all those kind of groups that could be together, and we have to be a part of a group of people. I don't care what, well, I don't care what, I do care. But you have to be part of a group of people that will stand there with each other and hold up the shield of faith. And sometime we don't even have the strength to hold the shield of faith. So we have somebody that we meet with that will, hey, let me hold you, and I'll hold up both shields of faith, mine and yours together. Let's do this. That's what we need. So we need to think about it. We look ahead to fall. We need to be thinking about being a part of a small group. And then hold up your shield of faith. Can everybody do this? Kind of imagine you're holding up a shield of faith. Can you do that? Like you can hold it. It's easy. And it's so, so powerful. God's given us everything we need. Ryan, come on up. The shield of faith. Let's stand together. Would you repeat after me? Lord Jesus, Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit, we have sung to you this morning. We have declared our faith. We believe in you. So, Lord Jesus, we worship you. We love you. We ask you, Heavenly Father, put your covering over us. Holy Spirit, help us hold the shield of faith. And would you grow that shield of faith so we can walk with each other, so we can be the church, and we can be your child and your servant. So Jesus, we love you, we worship you, we honor you. Walk with us this week, because you promised you would never leave us nor forsake us. You have given us everything we need for life and for godliness. And in your name we pray. Amen.